Welcome to Writing Women's Lives. I'm Susie Grogan, and I'm with Lucien Boyce and Karen Hunt. We'll be talking about the rewards and challenges of researching and writing biographies of women, each of us being thoroughly absorbed in our own fascinating female subjects. So, Lucien, can you just tell us who you've chosen and why?
Well, I'm writing about the suffrage campaign of Millicent Brown, who was later Millicent Price. And the reason she fascinates me, the reason I'm drawn to her, is I think very largely because we share a lot of the same ideals. Millicent was a pacifist. She believed in non-violence, in non-violent activism, non-violent actions. And it was her pacifism that informed her response to the suffrage campaign. So it kind of fed into all aspects of her life. It informed her feminism, which was very much about peace, you know, and non-violence. And she had a great belief in equality, in fairness, in justice, in compassion. And those are things that I'm very drawn to when I'm, you know, when I'm looking at her. And I'm also drawn to her spirituality and her seeking and the way she writes about that and the way she's prepared to ask questions and to think about things. She was a very thoughtful person, I think, in many ways. And I think, too, the fact that she was a writer, it fascinates me that she was a writer who wasn't a big success in the way that many people think of, you know, that you've got to be published, you've got to be well-known. She did try to get published, but really, apart from a couple of minor things, she didn't succeed. But what draws me in is that she thought she carried on writing because to her creativity was important. And that's what really, really draws me in. So all those things, kind of things that I share with her, I suppose.
And Karen?
Yeah. Well, my fascinating woman is called Dora Montefiore, lived from 1851 to 1933. She was a socialist, she was a suffragist, she was a communist, and she was lots of other things as well, including a journalist and poet and activist, as well as being a widowed mother responsible for her own household. So why does she fascinate me? Well, partly because she just doesn't fit into any of the stories that are traditionally told of women, particularly political women, in the period in which she lived. And every time I thought I kind of got a sense of her, I could see that she was transgressing all sorts of boundaries, both between campaigns that people weren't supposed to be involved in at the same time. She was in the Marxist Social Democratic Federation, as well as an early member of the Women's Social and Political Union. And, you know, the textbooks suggest that just isn't possible. She was involved in all sorts of organizations, both locally, nationally, and internationally. And as a result, she's taken me all over the world. One of the things that really fascinates me, and I think is very heartening as I age, is that she became more radical as she got older. And that doesn't fit the usual stories we hear. She was also seen as a difficult woman, both not just by men, but by women as well. And yet she found friendship and comradeship all around the world. Some of her actions are almost cinematic. She was held the bailiffs off for 6 weeks from her house in Hammersmith because she refused to pay taxes if she didn't have the vote. You can just see the movie. She's basically someone who was a pioneer, but without any kind of route map or any kind of role models. And that seems to me to be something that you just want to get to the bottom of. How did she do it? How did she make her choices? What constrained her? What motivated her? And so basically, she just constantly challenges me as a biographer. And that's why I continue to be fascinated by her.
I mean,
Susie, over to you.
Yes, that's great. I mean, I'm just so interested in what you two have been saying that, you know, I'm sitting here remembering I've got to talk about my own fascinating woman, who is Harriet Martineau. And I'm always surprised when I say to people, oh, I'm writing about Harriet Martineau, and they go, who's that? Because she lived through the Victorian period that during which so much was developing. There were very few people in politics and in literature with whom she wasn't familiar. And she spoke and wrote thousands of articles, actually, on subjects that are of great relevance today, which is why she fascinates me, because she was and is known by many as the first significant British woman sociologist. And she wrote on subjects like slavery, on gender, on relationships between the classes, and particularly for me, having all of us having gone through the period of lockdown, but my own health. She had 5 years in the sick room and wrote a book about it. So it was her own personal lockdown. And she wrote really forcefully, I think, on the relationships between doctors and female patients. And that is still an issue of relevance today. And so I felt that it was really important to bring this woman to life. She was quite a challenging woman. As Karen says, there's something really interesting about writing about women who challenged the norm, and Harriet really did. And, you know, she fell out with people. So there's interesting arguments between people like Elizabeth Gaskell, Charlotte Bronte. She knew the Wordsworth. And the political figures. She even fell out with her own brother. And I do think that when you get those dynamics and you get the social history mixed in, she really is someone who can bring into the 21st century those interesting Victorian, the interesting Victorian thoughts on those important subjects.
It's actually spooky, because Dora Montefiore called her autobiography From a Victorian to a Modern.
Ah.
Sounds like that could have been the title of certainly of Harriet's life, but maybe also of Millicent's too. So for all of us, I mean, we've found amazing women, but how do you actually write about someone who fascinates you? What are the challenges? What are the, you know, what have you found to be the issues for you? Lucienne, what about you?
Well, I think the first thing thinking about this really was thinking about how long will she fascinate me for? You know, will that fascination last? Because, you know, you're going to be living with this person for a long, long time, much longer than I expected, to be honest. There's so much to do, all the research, the writing and so on. And so I had to sort of think, well, can I really stay with this person for such a long time while I'm writing a book? And so what I did, I went to the Women's Library and I spent a couple of days rereading Millicent's unpublished autobiography. And I didn't take notes or work on it. I just read it to try and get a sense of her, get a sense of her voice, you know, what she was like. Thinking to myself, could I be with this person for a long time? Do I like her? Is she interesting? Does she tell things in an interesting way? And then I also listened again to Professor Brian Harrison's interview that he did in the 1970s with Charles, Millicent's husband, because Charles was going to play a big part in Millicent's story. Charles was a conscientious objector. Of course, she supported him in that during the First World War, and she worked with conscientious objectors herself. I think for me that was a major kind of issue, was how long will that fascination last? And so far, luckily, it has lasted. And I think leading on from that was also thinking about, is there enough information about her? Will I find enough things, you know, about her, enough information? And when I started, I thought there was literally just the autobiography and the interview, but I've discovered so much more since, and it's grown and grown. So those were two, you know, major things I was thinking about. I don't know if that's okay, but you know, Karen, you're talking about someone who stayed radical as they aged, and that also was important to me, that Millicent doesn't suddenly go all gung-ho and right-wing or whatever. You know, she remained a pacifist all her life. She remained committed to peace politics.
Yeah, it's really interesting. One of the things for me about Dora is that she would recognise some of the, I mean, Millicent is contemporary of Dora Montefiore's. Well, they're all contemporaries, aren't they, to some extent?
Yes.
But so, for example, pacifism is a real issue in the women's movement, but Dora has to have a principled, different position to most people, in that she's very determinedly an anti-militarist. She sees there's a role for force and violence in terms of, you know, a socialist revolution. So she's not part of the kind of pacifist movement as we now see it. And yet she's arguing very strongly against the First World War, for example. So she's one of these people that when you come to try and write her life, there are so many different strands, partly because that's how we've seen history. So there's labor history, there's women's history, there's peace history, and so on. Dora's life means that you have to go into all of those histories, but also be open to the fact that the way one reads her, the evidence from her life, is that she is constantly sort of chafing at the edges of whatever the issue is. So my challenge is really, how do you twist up these different threads together? Because often people write they write about one bit of her life or one bit of the woman they're looking at's life. I need to twist them back together again, but make sure that it remains a compelling narrative. And for me, that's a real challenge. And I'd be really interested to know how the others are facing up to that kind of challenge. But for Dora, it's a really big one. And also, because I come from a background of being, I'm a retired professor of history. So one of the things I'm really conscious of are the kind of range of historiographies that have shaped the way in which I read the evidence. So should I write in a way that acknowledges that or is in dialogue with that? Or should I, in a sense, put that to one side in order to write something that is as accessible as possible, without compromising on the fact that there are all sorts of contextual issues that make a real challenge to the way in which one interprets her life?
I think, you know, when I'm listening to you both, Harriet was known as someone who gave, you know, a significant impetus to that first wave of feminism in the mid-Victorian period. And the challenge for me, I think, is, first of all, I wanted to say that, you know, when you're writing about someone who doesn't have a whole range or a whole bookshelf full of biographies about them already, it's making sure that you're going to the right sources, making sure, exactly as Lucienne said, that there's enough information out there. As it turns out, Harriet Martineau was so prolific. And the Martineau Society are extremely enthusiastic about making sure that her name is better known, because she was very much one of those people who wanted practical, you know, sociologists, not just to observe, but to actually impact on the life of people. So for me, those sorts of things were important, exactly as they were for Lucienne, just making sure I was accessing all the most current thinking and the current knowledge about her. But also for me, it is that idea about whether she's somebody I wanted to spend all this time with, because obviously writing biography in general, you are spending a long time with your subject. I'm not sure it's absolutely vital to like them, because I think we've had discussions, haven't we, about, you know, sometimes our heroes have feet of clay and do something that maybe you find difficult to stomach. And sometimes, I mean, Harriet Martineau is so forceful and very, very opinionated in a number of matters that maybe I'd have been slightly scared of her. But I think that brings something out in the text from a personal perspective. So I'm quite comfy with that. But I do think, you know, when I listen to both of you talking about your subjects, there is such a link between so many women who have had almost their names whitewashed out of history. And that in general terms is what happens, I think. And it is acknowledged now that there are a lot of women out there who made a great deal of difference in their time about whom we know nothing in the public realm. And so that's the main challenge for me, is I've got this kind of feeling like I want everybody to know who Harriet Martineau was, and to make sure that they know that stuff that she wrote is still relevant today.
And do we also want to make sure, I suppose, that our reading of the woman that we've spent so much time with is at least getting as much space as For me, Dora Montefiore is often represented by historians as much as by contemporaries in a way that misrepresents, in some cases, what she was arguing for and her vision of the world that she was trying to create. So I feel that sometimes one can end up being an advocate, which is sometimes can compromise or at least sort of affect the way in which we tell these stories. And I find I sometimes think, well, have I put too much of my own mark upon her? I've written a lot about her, even though I haven't written a biography yet. And I sometimes, I made a little note to myself, has one difficult woman identified another across time? You know, so, you know, do I have to put my hands up to that?
I think that's a great point, almost to finish on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting the way we interact with our subjects. And I often thought that, you know, a biography is as much about the autobiographer, as much about us writing it, as it is about our subject. But I think it's probably time to start drawing to a close. I mean, there's so much more we could say. Fascinating subject, and such a lot to say. And in this time, we've only really been able to touch on some aspects of writing women's lives. But I know one of the things I'm going to take away from this conversation is just the idea that you know, there are so many ways of approaching the subject, so many things to think about, and that's what makes it exciting and fascinating and a wonderful thing to do, to be writing worldly. What about you, Susie? What would you be taking away from this conversation?
I feel that, you know, what I will take away from this conversation, for starters, is a lot of enthusiasm to go away and write, because I think there's nothing like talking about fabulous women, interesting women, to make you want to go away and write about them. So I think that's the first thing that I'll do. And I've just really enjoyed talking about it, because it does, at least, you know, it reinforces how you feel about your subject.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I mean, what it's meant for me is that I really feel that I want to write. I've toyed with over so many decades with how to write, and therefore almost whether to write full biography. And this is helping me to see, yeah, I really do want to do it. I really do. So thank you.
Yes.
It's great to feel inspired. And that's all we've got time for. But I hope it's inspired some of our listeners. And that you've enjoyed listening to Writing Women's Lives. Thank you and goodbye.